Before I start, I wanted to spend a few minutes where I left off last time with delusion. If this is okay, whatever it is, great. At the end of the last talk, we had a nice question and comment time, and there was two really good comments towards the end, and I've been reflecting and meditating with them, so some things came up. Actually, a couple of metaphors came up. So I'll go over them for the people that weren't here or forgot. The first one, the first comment, someone said that it was the nature of delusion to really not get it, because that was delusion. And that was a darn good comment. I've been sitting with that, so I came up a little metaphor in that direction. And it is it's amazing that this is a Canadian metaphor, and you'll see what I mean. A couple of years ago, I watched a nature TV show, and the show was about the Great Northern Rivers of Canada. Great, great, great show. And they showed in the springtime what happens to these rivers. These rivers were solid ice. And as the springtime goes on and they melt up, the ice becomes in these big pieces and makes this, they don't know how they got the microphones there, they made this loud noise, amazing, unearthly actually kind of noises. And then it showed the pieces start rolling down the river in an amazing torrent. It was one of the most amazing pieces I've ever seen. So the metaphor is that the solid ice on the river, before it melts, is delusion. The warm weather that starts the melting in the spring is our training and precepts. And the sun coming down is the eternal. So as we start training and meditating, we can melt these delusions. Actually, we don't do it. The training does it. It goes through the eternal, and the delusions, the ice, the big river that was frozen, gets into smaller pieces that we can work with. And it can move into the flow of the eternal, the water of the spirit, and flow down. So the training opens up the water of the spirit, opens up the blocks, the delusion, the ice. And then what we see, what was ice, and through our training, is now not delusion anymore, is now the water of the Spirit. But the eternal was always of the ice. It's just changing the attitudes. That's what it is. The eternal is of everything. And the eternal was there all the time. It was just our perceptions were off. Now, the rough thing is here that once we start training, we could hit another big cold spot. And if we let our training slacken, it gets really cold. And what happens when it gets really cold? The ice comes back. So, when that happens, it's good to really go a little deeper in your training. Meditate a little more and do whatever we talked about. What tools you need, because otherwise it could get hard like the ice again, and you'd be stuck to the next spring. That's what I say. So that was what came up on that one. Then there was another really good comment that someone said that almost anything can be delusion. Very true. Very true. So another metaphor came up for me on this one, that years ago, many years ago on Earth, people didn't know about astronomy. They didn't know what was going on in the universe. So they thought the Earth was the center of things. This big earth. You look up and it's got a bunch of little stuff up there. So the earth was this big thing, the center of the universe. That's what people thought is, and before people got to know it. And once people started learning about the universe and astronomy, they saw what the earth really was, a small little teeny speck of the universe. So before we start training, different things, different delusions are our earth. We think that the center, they think they have a certain bigness to them. When as we beginning to train and meditate, and we see really how small and nothing they are. And that helps with that one. The other thing that came up with delusion for us here, where we train, and I'm pretty sure most of us, including myself, most of our delusions now, and we've moved away from the coarser things, are delusion in thought, in our heads. I know everybody here, I guess pretty much the big delusions, delusions of race, delusions of gender, delusions of nationality, all the delusions that float around in worldliness. I'm pretty sure that everyone's here has got behind. I know tomorrow none of you are going to get into ethnic cleansing or anything like that sort, those big delusions that float around the planet here. So I was going to talk just a touch, because I want to move into tonight's talk, about the delusions in thought. And that's delusions in the head. So I called on a good old friend of mine, I never knew Dogen, Great Master Dogen, who's big with these kind of delusions and talks a lot about that. So he gives a little advice. I have in Zen's Eternal Life, I found a couple of things that Dogen... Sorry about this. I thought I marked this one. Oh, here it is. Sorry about that. Dogen says, presumption, discrimination, imagination, intellect, human understanding, and the like have nothing to do with Buddhism when studying Zen. Dogen comes right to the point here. Too many people are like children, playing with such things from their birth. You must awaken to Buddhism right now. Above all, you must avoid presumption and choice. Reflect carefully upon this. And what Dogen is saying here, get out of the head. That's the big delusion. Don't give your thoughts that credence. Don't let your thoughts be the earth. And as you meditate, let the thoughts melt like the ice. That's where a lot of us, I know I am, as we start training. The delusions are in our heads. We're not involved, a lot of us, and a lot of these external big-time delusions, like I mentioned. So Dogen said one other thing here that I marked. Of course, this is a big thing that has helped me, and I know here it's helping you. When a delusion gets really stuck, like we talked about, it's hard to see delusions many times. It's a big thing to have a teacher. Reverend Master Koshin has cut through many of my delusions. So, all, you are very lucky to have Master Meitan here. And I know already Master Meitan has cut through some of the, your delusions. If I was still a gambling man, I'd make a big wager on that. So Dogen says that there is no need to change the present body and mind. All one has to do is follow in the enlightened way of a fine Zen master. For this is the receiving of the teaching directly. To follow a Zen master, and this is the important sentence, is not to follow in old ways, nor create new ones. It is simply just to receive the teaching. Move out of the head. Move out of the head. And then I copied a couple of things that have helped me with delusion. This will be the end of delusion, I promise. We'll end it somewhere here. The first thing is mindfulness. Keep the mindfulness going. And this is the mindfulness of the mind and where it's going. Then the other thing is the middle way. Extremes are always delusion. And part of that, I put in parentheses, moderation. Oh, that's a rough word for me. But we're trying. We're trying. I only had 2 slices of pizza for dinner. But I saved from Mr. Meitan too. The other one is a big one here. I could be wrong. Always keep that in mind. I could be wrong. It cuts in, it melts the ice pretty good, but it makes some nice stuff. And then the other one is asking for help. This is where Master Koshin has been big with this one for a while. When you ask for help in your meditation, in your training, in your teacher, and all, you're also big time melting of the ice. And you're moving away from what Dogen was talking about. Good. So that finishes up delusion. Now we can start tonight's talk, which is a nice talk. We're going to talk about the cause of suffering and where these feelings come from. And we'll start with something that came up for me during my retreat in Holland. And this again is a little pre-talk. This is about 2 minutes, so don't worry about it. This is just a couple of minutes of something that came up for me when I was getting into the causes of suffering. And I saw this, maybe Rib Mr. Meitan knows where this is from. This was at the beginning of a Buddhist book, and I should have credited it to someone. And this was donated to me yesterday, my new book. And I put this in as the first page. Carol kindly donated this to me. And thank you very much, Carol. And this is on the first page. And I headline this, Deep Willingness. And what this person who wrote, this Buddhist, probably a monk or a lay person, sincere lay person like everybody here, either one, homage to all those who are willing to go through the suffering that leads to the cessation of suffering. I don't know, have you heard that one, Master Meitan?
It's not unfamiliar, but I don't remember.
If anyone sees it, anyway, tell me and I'll put the, I'll credit the person who said it. So this meant a lot to me.
Would you repeat it?
Sure.
Sorry.
Homage to all those, that's us, who are willing to go through the suffering that leads to the cessation of suffering. And that's what we're doing. Willing to go through anything, to go to the root cause of the suffering, which we'll talk about today. And then I wrote here my own observations. To do this, I must do it with joy. And I put in parentheses, looking up. I must have complete faith and trust in the unknown and be open to all the help and guidance given. Just a simple thing that came up for me in my Dutch retreat. This is one I was in Holland, no, I shouldn't say Holland, the Netherlands, for 2.5 months and did a very nice retreat there a bunch of years ago. And this is where I started. So I'm going to read first. I'll start off in this article by, or talk, by Reverend Master Koshin, Suffering and Its Cause. I believe Reverend Master Maitin transcribed this.
Very likely, but not at the, not that date.
Not that date. Well, the date, I think, is 2001. This, I think this is... I got the original date written. It's 2006. Okay, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so this is the first paragraph. Reverend Master Koshin says, I would like to speak this evening about the relationship between the cause of suffering and suffering itself, which can be more readily understood with the illusion of self is not in the way. And that sentence did, the illusion of self, we've been covering that the last three talks. And we got a good grasp of what that is. So that was all laying the ground for this talk. Our sense of self and its solidity and opacity. Where's the dictionary? In other words, I like where Master Koshin does it. Our sense of its reality is a deep form of ignorance. We just talked about that delusion. Under the influence of that conviction, we relate to all that we experience and all that we feel and think to that seemingly real and solid self. Solid self. And we... Our training is breaking up that solid ice, as we talked earlier. And then once we start to do that, melt that ice of delusion and self and so forth, then we can do this. But we have to do that first. Start training greed, hate, and delusion. Our training greed, hate, and delusion. The truth is that a great deal of what we feel mostly deeply, a large amount of our thoughts and most of our interests are all carryovers from previous existences of which our body and mind are the custodian. Whether we know it or not, the greater mass of our suffering is rooted in past experiences. Okay, so we're going to get into that tonight. And what is the root of suffering is karma. Feeling is the reaper of karma. So out of the feelings, we go into suffering. And this is the deeper suffering, not the other suffering. And this is confusing now. We're talking about the deeper aspects of suffering today. So I wanted to go into some things where Master Jiyu says, and we're going to spend a little time the next few minutes going over karma, since this is the thing we're going to be talking about, which is the root, the deep root of feeling is the karma we pick up, as where Master Koshin says, from past existences and from previously in this life, too. But like our Master Koshin says, most of it comes from the past. Our Master Jiyu says a few things here. I just want to go into... She says here, I have often said that one should not meditate unless one intends to continue for the rest of one's life. Our Master is really strong here with this teaching, and you'll see why. This is because one is not only beckoning to the cosmic Buddha, the eternal, the unborn, that's a lot of names. One is also attracting all the karma that is longing for help and reunion with that which is the eternal, the unborn. If a person meditates, all that uncleansed karma that longs to be with him again rushes to get help. We have opened up the passageway. The river is moving. The flow of the eternal. The karma, karmic pain, grief, sadness sees an opening and starts welling up. So you got two things going on. The deep love of the eternal and this deep karmic pain. And as we train is the great meeting. And that karmic pain, grief, all that stuff goes into the flow of the eternal and gets washed. Sounds nice, but very painful and very difficult. But we can do it, and everybody here is doing it. Our master continues, by cleansing such karma, a person turns the stream of compassion within to do his or her small part in helping the cosmic Buddha. Instead of always greedily grabbing from him, compassion for the cosmic Buddha is the beginning of pure love. That's where this saddened love, this karmic pain, wants to go. To pure love. And this is a big point where Reverend Master Jiyu says here, small part. What our part is to sit there very still, to meditate, be quiet, and let this happen. This is our job, to meditate, to be still and quiet. That's why we talked a little earlier, and we want to bring in delusion, to get out of the head. If you're in the head and you're going on and on and on and on and on, where's the place for the karma to get washed? We're just going on and on and on and on and on. I know, I go there. And just keep coming back. Keep coming back to that stillness and quiet. Keep coming back to the wall. Not only in meditation, during the day. And whatever your meditation is during the day, the work, the cooking, the doing the dishes, the going to the bathroom. Keep and just do what needs to be done all the day. And this will quiet the mind and the regular meditation practice. So, the other thing was Reverend Master Jiyu gives one of the most beautiful explanations of karma I ever seen. And it's in a footnote in this book. So, it's a little long, but I'm going to read the whole thing to give everyone an understanding what I'm talking about by karma. It's a word that's been floating around, and most people don't really know what it means. So, here's Reverend Master Jiyu's explanation. It's a footnote here. When we speak of a person's karma, we refer to the sum total of all such forces currently remaining effective, which he or she has produced in this lifetime or has acquired at the time of conception from other beings which have left it unfulfilled at the time of their deaths. I'm going to give an explanation of this when I finish here with your master's definition. Positive volitional acts produce positive karma, sometimes called merit, which has positive effects on the lives of beings. This positive karma, already being at peace by its very nature, is at one with the infinite sea of merit of the cosmic Buddha upon the death of the individual, and thus provides no basis for an immoral soul, negative karma. If not exhausted or purified in this lifetime, continues on after death and conditions the conception of a new being who will have an opportunity to allow it to run its course or to purify it, thus setting it to rest. That's us. We want to purify this karma we have inherited and set it to rest. Once its force is spent, negative karma ceases to exist. Hence, it too, cannot produce an immortal and individual soul. The karma produced in this life and the karma inherited from other beings are not of different types. And we'll go into that. They both act in the same way and are indistinguishable. Thus, in Buddhism, there really is no such thing as an individual and immortal soul. We use the term spirit here to refer to the entire matter described above. That's Reverend Master Jeeves. So, what other ways I've heard karma described is kind of bits or stuff. Again, Reverend Master Dyser, we used to use that stuff that we pick up. I'm going to give a couple of examples so people get an idea. I've used this example for years, and I know it inside out, and I wouldn't be surprised if I picked up something from this stream that I'm going to talk about. So, let's say, and there was probably it was a man and a wife and three children in Germany in the mid-30s, and they were Jewish. And things, anti-Semitism was stirring up at the time. And things were getting crazy. So they got a call from their relatives in New York. And their relative said, boy, things are getting crazy over there in Germany. And we can take care of you. Come on over to New York. We'll set you up with some work. We'll take care of the kids. We'll help you. And what they decided on, and they called back their relatives, they said, these Nazis that are going around are just hoodlums, they're going to pass by soon. It's nothing, they said. So to make a long story short, they and their children went to the concentration camps and died. But these people hated themselves for this decision they made, that they had a chance to get themselves and their children out of Germany. So they were really beating themselves up and just saying, how could this happen? Why did we do? What kind of mistake? And when they died, they were left with these feelings of hating themselves, of can't believe what happened, and so forth. So these stuff, that's the stuff that got passed along to the next being. So you could see, and I met people, and we all know people, in this life who seem to have everything, doing good, everything going on, and they hated themselves. And I used to question myself, what's going on here? That was karma. That was the karma. That kind of thing. Then there's other things that could happen, and myriad things could happen to children in this lifetime. And I'm not going to go into that. And the children pick up those things just like a person picks up that karma and lives with it in this lifetime. If the parents are not around and the children are the children are beaten, you know what I mean. And if all that stuff goes on, so the child picks up that karma. And that conversion has to happen. And I've read some beautiful conversions as everybody's working on their past karma like that. These conversions are beautiful once you start. And that karma is so pained and full of grief. Imagine how pained and grief that karma was of those parents. They really hated themselves. And someone inherited that. And now when we inherit this kind of stuff and we train with it and feel, you have to be, this is the rough part, actually have to sit there in meditation and feel the pain of those people and let it be washed by the eternal. That's our job, our small job, just to sit there and feel that pain, and just not to go cover it up with the myriad ways we talked in the last few talks of greed, hate, and delusion. Be still, not to get in the head, not to go external. Be still, and let this deep stuff be washed. This is what's being talked about here. So I'll go a little more into Rev. Master Koshin's piece, which he talks about this. So this, when we really begin, I'm going to do some paraphrasing here from Rev. Master Koshin's piece. When we really begin to comprehend what is at work here, we begin to see that suffering itself is a manifestation of compassion. It is this suffering that leads us to the eternal. By golly, if we weren't into this heavy suffering, would we go to the eternal? Would we do this? It is this suffering that's providing the fodder of doing this. So it has a lot of compassion, the suffering. Master Koshin says that the three aspects of spiritual need are revealed. The first is that there is the longing for something. In this case, the karma of this couple from Germany, it's the longing for love. They've hated themselves so much, it's longing for love, right there. The second is that something needs to be understood. They got to understand that they're human. They might have made a mistake there in the early 30s. Move on. The eternal. Humans make mistakes. And the third is that the underlying sadness needs to manifest fully in our feelings. That's what we've talked about. To sit in meditation and feel that grief and sadness. The love that seeks its enlightenment can only find it through understanding. And as we sit in meditation and stillness and quiet and feel what's going on and sometimes actually see it, it can get the understanding of the love of the eternal. That love that was always there, even in the 1930s, and even in the concentration camps, as we saw from that child who wrote that beautiful poem. I think I'll just read a little more of Reverend Master Koshin's, and then I'll end off with something for myself, and then we'll have some questions and comments. As these great waves of feeling begin to move through us, the hardest thing of all is to simply sit patiently. That's not easy. It's the hardest thing of all. Not in the sense of a dumb endurance, but of a glad one. Glad to be able to do this and to help this karma and allow the sadness to wash through. The kind of comprehension that is needed here is a blood and bones comprehension, and no amount of knowledge of any kind of the least help. We've added a brain totally. That's what Master Koshin is saying, almost the same thing with Dogen saying there. Move out of the brain. That only hinders this. I cannot emphasize this too strongly, Rev. Master Koshin says, because the help that can be given can only be given directly by the Eternal. And that's what we're doing. When we meditate and train, we're opening ourselves up to that. So this deeper karma and the deep feelings that come from it can be washed, and the love can wash through it. Lastly, in the Netherlands, towards the end of my retreat, a kind of visual thing came up for me of this. And I think I showed it a couple of years to somebody. I think David made a copy of this, maybe. But I'll go over it again because this is big with this. When it came up for me, I ran it by Burma Master Koshin, and he said you could use it. It was something else. I wasn't 100% sure. So you run it by the teacher when you're not sure or something like this before you start showing it around. if this was bogosity, he would have told me. But he said it wasn't. It was. So I always intended to make this bigger, so I apologize. It's still on this small sheet of paper. I was going to make this big one. So everybody see how fast this is. This red around here is the flow of the eternal. And you see it comes down here and here, and I'll explain that in a second. The black is the flow of karmic grief and terror and fear, that what we were just talking about, that we pick up sometime. That's this, look at it, this black right here. And it goes up here. Now, the black and red, this piece here, is the flow of karma and of the eternal within a being. When you start training, all of us, we have moved into this area. And this area here is us. Right now, that mixed area. Most people in the world live in this area. They have the karma that they picked up. They have the flow of the eternal, and it's kind of separate. It's the training and the meditation that starts this washing. So this is the flow of the great meeting. Right here, the cosmic washing, the unconditional love of everything. Once you get it in, that helps the black. And you could see here, once, as Rev. Master Jiyu talks about, once it's washed, it dissipates and just goes back to the flow of the eternal. And suddenly the black starts here, is washed and ends right here. When one person does this with different streams of karma. And I told him, I consider myself somewhere here. I just started this right about here. I just started this. I'll do my best in this lifetime. Maybe I'll get some whole bits of that karma cleanse. Maybe I won't. But each day I'm going to do my best. I'm not going to say I'll save it for another person or something like that. I just try my best. And if it all gets done, great. And if it doesn't, I made a good dent in it. So I think we'll end it here. Unless Ribbon Master Maitland has some comments.